I spoke in a past episode about the designation of yoga instructor and yoga teacher. Although I do believe there are similarities, I also believe that these two designations are not interchangeable. Perhaps you could be a blend of both, but there are significant differences between the words instructor and teacher. Within your evaluation of what type of teacher you desire or strive to be, understanding the differences and similarities does impact your role when placed under the big umbrella of the title of yoga teacher that is freely used. In today's episode, whether or not you designate yourself as an instructor or teacher isn't the focus. But rather, I want to lean more into the aspect that goes well beyond the intellect or cognitive aspect and expand into the area and matter of teaching from the heart. Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. Thank you for joining me today. Let's get back to today's episode. This episode of the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast is sponsored by the Amino Company's 100% science-backed patented blend of essential amino acids called Life. Life is designed for heart health and active aging that works to improve your quality of life so that you can stay healthy and active as you age. When it comes to aging, it is so important for me to maintain consistent, healthy routines, and Life is a wonderful addition to my overall wellness plan and just what I need to support my ability to remain functioning with a high level of energy, strength, and flow throughout my day. Life is making it easy for me to know I am taking care of myself in a way that helps me take care of others. If you're looking for a nutritional advantage when it comes to maintaining muscle mass and cardiovascular health as you age, I recommend you give Life a try. And right now, you can get 30% off when you visit aminoco.com/beyondyoga and use the discount code Beyond Yoga. Click the link in the show notes and receive 30% off this wonderful product, and you'll even receive a free gift with your purchase. Now, let's get back to today's episode. There's a quote by Aristotle that states, "Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all." As a yoga teacher, I also consider myself to be an educator as well. And when you hear the phrase teaching from the heart, what image comes to mind, or is this quality necessarily easily visible? Perhaps it's more than just an outward representation, but rather it's an internal state of being that seeps out and is at first more subtle rather than boldly present. What essence is exuded within one that has embodied this approach or attitude towards teaching? Perhaps even this quality or state of being goes beyond the choice you make of what type of teacher you will be and expands more into the space of where the desire to teach originated and was first cultivated within the heart. You might then ask, what is the matter of your heart? And why do you teach? In today's episode, I want to share with you some key concepts of how to evaluate or how to even cultivate this heart space and this teaching from the heart. We'll begin with benevolence. Now, that's a word that I don't think we hear on a daily basis. And it's one of those words that if you have heard it, most likely you've heard it within a religious reference. At my church, we even have a benevolence committee, which is a group of individuals who oversee and address the individual needs that arise for those within the church and those within our surrounding community. Needs that are usually pertaining to providing for those base level needs of housing, hunger, clothing. And in essence, benevolence is seen as an act of kindness. I believe we see the action of benevolence found within the practice of yoga. We even practice meditations with a loving kindness focus. So this concept most likely doesn't feel or sound foreign. I believe benevolence and service go hand in hand. And I'd like to expand on this further in regards to intention and reflection upon your approach to teaching and whether or not it comes more from the cognitive aspect of teaching, or rather this concept and idea of stepping in to lead and teach from your heart. Intention is a very familiar word in the yoga community, and as teachers, we often voice and ask students to focus attention towards the creation of an intention for their practice experience. You can use intention as an evaluation marker when it comes to how you are showing up and how you are stepping into the classroom to lead. What is your intention? Is the intention outwardly focused on a particular asana or sequence that you desire to deliver, with possibly a more physical attribute that you desire to highlight? Is your intention to empower and encourage others to create their own experience and encounter with the practice of yoga that day? There's all these various layers of intention that we can offer and draw our students' attention towards when we offer a class experience. Educating the heart refers to the importance of not only focusing on developing the cognitive aspects, but also all of the qualities that make us human, so our hearts, and ultimately giving us meaning in our lives when we really blend the two and the important aspects of our mind and our cognitive development, as well as our heart and this kindness and this loving benevolence for ourselves, but for others. So let me ask you this. Are you a benevolent yoga teacher? Moving along to another quality I want to share, attitude. I know you've most likely already heard the aspect found within teaching that you must remain a student as well. And I highly encourage you in that aspect. I am certainly going to reinforce that aspect when sharing insight into your development process as a teacher. Becoming a learner as a teacher within your identity is very crucial as well. Just as we ask our students to be vulnerable, to share, to reflect, to grow, we as teachers must do the same. And in order for us to come in authentic, vulnerable, and willing to lead and teach from that heart space, then we really must be willing to do all that we are inviting our students to do through the practice as well. As I prepared for this episode, and in particular, this matter of the heart when it comes to teaching yoga or teaching anything really, I ran across a few points that I want to share with you that I think you'll find great relevance in when applying this to your teaching methodology and your approach to teaching yoga classes. First, hearts and minds are connected, so always tend to both. As yoga teachers, we know, well, I'm assuming here that we know that asana is just one piece, one limb of the yoga practice. This aspect is very beneficial, and since most of us yoga teachers are teaching this aspect of the practice with more emphasis and repetition than most likely the other limbs, although I'll side note here that yes, you are most definitely teaching the other aspects, or you can teach the other aspects of the limbs of yoga woven within your narrative, your directives, and sequencing that you use. Ideally, the asana piece of your practice becomes a vehicle that aids in transporting you within the discovery and uncovering of the other limbs. So yes, but a lot of times, how often though, we get solely swept up in the physicality aspect, the asana, the yoga pose, because it's easily what we can see and what we can immediately relate to. So here's where we may find we are tending solely to the intellect or the mind, that technical aspect, that cognitive aspect. And if we aren't infusing guidance for students to support them in making connection between their mind and heart, then we basically neglect one aspect of their being, which will lessen their ability of finding that union of body, mind, and spirit. And it's within this interconnectedness that we are able to experience that residual effect we call yoga. Yoga is not the pose, rather it's a representation, say byproduct of these poses that we use when we encounter the state of being of yoga, the state of being in union of mind, body, and spirit. It's important that we support students in connecting these dots along the way throughout the practice time that we have in the yoga class setting. Next, all learners are deserving of the rationale for what and why they are learning something. Now, here's where the educator piece comes in. I deeply believe that an integral part of my role as a yoga teacher is to educate students by sharing the teachings of yoga and equipping them with the tools they will need to excavate the landscape of their being to discover that residual after effect I've just mentioned of yoga, of union. A valuable piece of learning comes within the knowing of what you're learning and why you should even be interested in learning it. This shows up for us as yoga teachers when we begin to thread in various techniques, whether it's pranayama or mindful techniques within the classes we lead. It's an important reflection to consider and make as to whether or not you are educating and equipping them with what they're doing and why they are even doing it. From my experience, when students understand better what you're inviting them to explore and why it's even relevant for their daily living, then this heightens their ability to grasp the concept and actually seek to understand it better and how they can apply it within their experience on the yoga mat and off as they are out living their yoga in their world experiences. I want to challenge us all as yoga teachers to be very conscious of what we are asking students to do and how we are directing them to do so. And if you don't fully understand the why of the techniques and the practices that you are offering, then I want to invite you now to spend some time getting real clear on this as well. If you don't know why you're offering these to students, then I can assume that chances are you're going to come across that way in the class experience, and there will be a loss of relevance within the piece of what you're trying to add. Think about it this way. When you have found great relevance in your life from the application of a particular activity or experience, then it heightens the likelihood that you will seek to repeat that activity or replicate that experience. Thirdly, when it comes to the matters of the heart and this concept of understanding better how to facilitate and lead and actually be a teacher teaching from your heart, it's important to understand that we learn with each other and not in isolation. So here's where the concept of connection is going to come back in. Not only are we connecting the dots for students by being these conduits for the teachings of yoga to flow through, and we're connecting them to this deeper understanding of the personal practice and their relationship with the practice, but now we have this ability of connecting within this setting and learning and growing together in the yoga class experience. There are several different interpersonal interactions that are taking place within the yoga class setting. You have obviously the teacher-student relationship, but a big part of this also, this setting, is the student and student relationships that are formed and made. And all of these relationships converge together. They collectively come together. And not only are we then co-creators of the experience with our students and students with each other, but we're found in this setting to be, we're also co-learners. Both entities, the students, the teachers, we are all learning in this environment. And although we are teachers and we come in and we teach, we share, we are actually learning at the same time. We find ourselves inspired, encouraged, and hopefully lifted up by having come together in this shared practice experience. Social connection is so important for mental and physical health and well-being. And we can all attest to the recent bout of isolation that we all collectively experienced within and through the COVID pandemic. And this was just a big challenge for us as yoga teachers and many others, but speaking to yoga teachers, because many of us had to make some quick changes as to how we were actually going to teach now. Many of us moved online and we started sharing, but that also brought lots of challenges that made this experience and this connection point that I've spoken about, gosh, it made it feel like isolation. And although it served the purpose and it helped us to keep consistency and dedication to the practice, there was still that isolation piece. And so I'm inspired now as I have gone into yoga studios again, and I've helped yoga studios to get back started since the COVID shutdown and this re-entering and this new way that we're going to do this yoga class setting. And I've been inspired to see that people have, in their own timing and their safety, have come back into the yoga class setting. And I truly believe it's because of this isolation aspect and how valuable learning comes when we come into a collective. There is something quite powerful about the live in-person experience of taking a yoga class. I always considered it such a treat to be able to go actually take a class. And although it's very important to develop and sustain a personal at-home practice, it's also very beneficial in your growth and your students' growth to practice in a collective class experience and do this on a consistent basis. We are inspired by others, and when we come together, once again, we co-create and we experience something that ultimately allows us to learn and grow together. Lastly, help your students see their own lives and interest in what they are learning. At the heart of this statement is relevance, and I've spoken about it already. I am a huge advocate in teaching and educating students within the practice by supporting them in connecting those dots again on what they are doing and how they are being on the yoga mat and how it has a direct correlation to how they interact with daily living. It's the concept of living your yoga in a nutshell. How we interact with ourselves and within the collective experience of a yoga class is really how we're out there interacting and expressing ourselves in the lives we live. As yoga teachers, we have an awesome experience and opportunity to impact and support students in making these connections and providing them the context and insight into how they can absorb and apply all that they create and experience in the yoga practice within their daily living. If you listen for very long to the podcast, you know that service and connection fuel my teaching methodology, And I truly believe that if you desire to lead effective and impactful classes, that one of the best places to start is by equipping students with the tools and knowledge that supports them and connecting what they learn through the yoga practice into the creation of the life they wish to lead off the mat. As I wrap up today's episode, I thought I would share a few reflection points for you to sit with, explore, and use to evaluate the heart of the matter when it comes to being a yoga teacher. I'll first remind you of the quote I shared in the beginning of the episode, "Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all." This is a very definitive statement. It's kind of like you either are or you aren't. And with that said, I will always point you back to evaluate why you teach. The matter of your heart and the capability to teach from your heart will always begin within the heart. Here within this space lies our truest intention, and from here our mouths open and our directives, our guidance and service towards others will come forth. This is true for all of life, and when it comes to teaching yoga, for me, this is the space from which true connection and service unto others will flow forth as we share and guide others through the beautiful, life-changing practice of yoga. When we dedicate ourselves as teachers to teach from the heart, we also dedicate to the ongoing pursuit to get out of the way of someone else's opportunity to learn, to grow and experience that residue of yoga within every facet of their daily living. Yoga teacher, as I often share, teaching yoga is a most worthy endeavor. It is one that will call us out of our comfort zone in our pursuit of satisfying ourselves. For me, teaching and serving others is more about being willing to get uncomfortable, to possibly be inconvenienced at times, so that the bigger working and the teachings of yoga can flow through and out of me, trusting and having faith that when my teaching flows from a heart of service, it truly will make an impact on someone else's life. Thank you for joining me today. Until we meet again, stay tuned for some wonderful opportunities and resources to support you in between episodes, and I'll look forward to connecting with you in the next episode. Are you a yoga teacher that can benefit from some tips and techniques for cueing the classes that you lead? Well, I'm excited to share with you about a new free resource that I have available, the 10 Essentials for Effective Cueing. And this is a resource that I want to provide to you with what I believe to be the essentials when it comes to cueing and the language that we use in yoga classes, along with tips that I share with you that will most certainly up-level your approach and awareness when it comes to leading effective and impactful yoga classes. An amazing resource that is yours for free. So check out the link in the show notes and get your free copy today, or you can head over to my website, sandyraper.com, sandyraper.com, and you'll find this free resource there, and there are certainly more resources waiting for you on my website. So go check it out and get your free 10 essentials for effective cueing. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey, and I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.